You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Tuesday, 7 May, Disney results this afternoon, just before US Open. I am Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Gauteng, Johannesburg. On the show today, Comrade Mapawani. I want to touch local REIT sector. I mean, vacancies, high interest rates, inflation. I know the good story around it in terms of discount to NAV and yields, but there's lots of other side. I want to get Comrade's view on that. And then we're going to be chatting with Andrew Kooning. He is, of course, CEO of Redefine, on their results. And then we're going to be chatting with Bonds, but especially the Namibian bond ETF. It's done well, and there is a good story there. This show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit StanLib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines, MoneyWeb, ANC or not, Shell is gone. BP surely next and Total will follow. Shell's been steadily and deliberately selling downstream assets for over a decade. Business day, Renergen hits milestone with liquid helium production at the Virginia project. Previously said it would be doing this by 2021. They need to start getting that helium to market. Morning markets, US was green, S&P up 1%, NASDAQ 1.1% higher. Over in the east, it's mixed. Sydney's up 0.2%, Tokyo 1.2% higher, but Hong Kong off 0.7%, and Tencent down a smidgen, 0.01% lower. Commodities, green across the board. Gold, 2,332. Brent, 83.57. Platinum, 972. Palladium, 988. The Rand is 18.51. Bitcoin, 63,000. Top 40 opening call, about 120 points to the red. That's almost 0.2% lower.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Comrade Mapawani, independent analyst. Comrade, appreciate the early morning time. I'm chatting with Andrew from Redefine in a moment. But more broadly, if we look at REITs, as I said in the intro there, I mean, there's certainly the compelling story for them, which is yields and discount to NAV. There's also the other side of the argument, which is infrastructure challenges locally, higher rates, inflation, office vacancies. What's your take on the sector broadly and potential opportunity or not of cases?
Yeah, it's a bit of a mixed bag. If you look at the share price performance across that sector over the last year or so. And I think the key there is definitely about what's included in your portfolio. As you've mentioned, you know, we have seen vacancies up in terms of office space. So if an entity or if a REIT has lots of office space, then, you know, there was cause for concern. We've seen retail has taken a bit of a plummet as well. Hyprop came out with their commentary around the potential impact of Pick and Pay pulling out of its various malls. Yeah. So very, very mixed bag, very nuanced. I think the key here is about what does the portfolio look like, number one, in terms of does it contain more office, retail, or industrial? And then secondly is where is this portfolio located? You know, is it in South Africa? Is it international? And all those things have various impacts on obviously performance.
Is it almost a case, I mean, to your point, where look at, you know, the perhaps more niche ones where, for example, the focus might be logistics and certainly they've had a much better play of it. Or we've got Spear who say that the story is best because they're down in the Western Cape.
Mm-hmm. So that's exactly it, as you're saying. You know, how specific are you in terms of the coalition of your portfolio? Mm-hmm. As you've mentioned, you know, moving to Western Cape is one of the strategic points for Growth Point now. So rather being focused there, as that seems to be a little bit of a better environment. But again, it's still within the bounds of the South African economy. Yeah. So, you know, you've spoken and you've touched on the higher interest rates. So I guess a key point here as well is, you know, and we've all been looking and waiting for the Fed, number one, but it definitely has a drop-down impact on what happens in South Africa in the Reserve Bank side. You know, do we continue with these high interest rates? Do they come down? Lower interest rates obviously have a significant benefit, not just across the sector, but on the property sector specifically as well. So you asked me the question around, you know, is there opportunity? There's always opportunity, specifically when a entity has come off weaker for a while, but we've got to look at the dynamics. And we've discussed this before. Do you leave your money in property, or is your money better spent elsewhere?
I take your point. It is that I suppose it's the dynamics, and it's looking through and not painting with a broad
Precisely.
Brush, perhaps. Carmen Meperani, independent analyst, always appreciate the early morning.
When you stay invested over time in Stanlib's Global Multi-Strategy Diversified Growth Fund, your money's in for some smooth sailing. With our global partners, JP Morgan Asset Management, at the helm, your money can withstand the pressure and bad weather day-to-day market conditions cause. All aboard? Seek more returns at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
Chatting now with Andrew Kooning from CEO of Redefine. Results for 6 months ending February. We saw the SA REIT NAV now R7.80. Distribution, or dividend rather, of 20.27 cents. Andrew, appreciate the early morning. How's retail industrial doing? I want to pull office out separately. We were just chatting with Carmen there. And certainly what we're seeing with your retail perhaps is a little bit of a shift of strategy, targeting some township malls as well, which perhaps more resilient.
Good morning, Simon, and to your listeners. Yes, retail, I think in the township sector, surely is showing a lot of defensive traits. And I think if we look at our own portfolio and even those of our peers, you'll see good growth coming out of that subsector of the retail market. So for us, going into Pan Africa Mall is very exciting, mm-hmm. and it actually adds on to an existing exposure we already have. We're roughly about 10% of our retail portfolio is exposed to that subsector of the retail sector.
What about office? Office, I mean, I track it. There's a company out in the US called Castle with a K. They track occupancies and offices in the across 10 major metropolitans. It is still struggling, and office just seems a global phenomenon to still be under pressure. Are you seeing any green shoots in your office the space?
Simon, actually, we are. If you look at some nodes, we are seeing growth mm-hmm. in rentals, as well as we're seeing a growth in demand. And those two nodes that I'll single out is parts of the Western Cape. Mm-hmm. And then in Rosebank here in Johannesburg, we are definitely seeing a strong demand. There is, unfortunately, an oversupply in the market. And that is causing, along with obviously sluggish economic growth, which translates into lack of new demand, you know, the perfect storm for the office sector. I think if we look globally, there may be other issues at play. I think the work from home or hybrid working model has settled here in South Africa. And in fact, we are starting to see the number of our corporates starting to return to the office full time because they realize that the productivity, the culture, and even, you know, transfer of skill works far better here at the office.
Yeah, I mean, some of the corporates I know, they sort of moved to 1 day, 2 day. Most of them are, frankly, at a minimum, they're now at 4 days back in the office, some back at 5 days. Debt, I mean, obviously, we've got a high interest rate environment. We don't know when that rates will come down. We'll leave that to the governor and his team of experts. Your LTV, 42.6, that's a little higher than you particularly like, and it does mean debt costs rising.
Absolutely, Simon. We're fully aware of that, and we will be working it down. You know, we've got a lot of cash that's coming back to South Africa from Poland from the disposal of a plot of land. Mm-hmm. It's between 39 and 42 million euros. That will be here by June. We have non-core assets that we are in the process of disposing. A number of them will come through in the second half. And we are very, very pleased also to report, Simon, that valuations have stabilized and are starting to increase once again. And that's a consequence of organic growth and even rates stabilizing at the levels they are. Now, when rates come down, that will mean that asset value similarly will rise and our LTV will decline. So We are concerned about the LTV, but we have it in hand, and we believe we'll be back within the target range in the medium term.
When rates come down, I imagine, if I'm a household, as soon as rates come down, my bond drops day one, and I've got a little bit extra cash flow. A little slower in the REIT environment, but broadly, if we got an MPC cut, let's say today, this period that you're currently the second H2, you will have a positive cash flow experience from that.
Absolutely, Simon. Roughly 20-odd%, 20 to 25% of our debt is floating. Mm-hmm. So we will get an immediate benefit from any rate relief. I think for the consumer it might take a little bit longer to work into the system. There's a lagged effect. But for us there will be an immediate benefit. And as I alluded to earlier, cap rates similarly will decline, and that will mean that valuations from an asset point of view will go up. So it actually is very beneficial to us on all fronts, from a funding cost point of view, mm-hmm. from an asset valuation point of view, and even from a tenant health point of view. You know, these interest rates actually are going to make a significant boost when they come through.
Yeah, I take your point. The high rates is hurting across the chain, absolutely everybody. What about power supply? Mm-hmm. I know you've been putting solar in and the like, and this is obviously as a response to Eskom, make no mistake about that. But how's that going? And my understanding is you're still rolling out, and this is partly response to Eskom. I imagine in some cases it's just about green is great, and also, frankly, oftentimes cheaper.
Yes, Simon. Solar has been a fantastic investment opportunity for us, in that we are reselling the own generated power back to our tenants, as well as we use it in our common areas, for example. Our installed capacity at this point in time is about 41 megawatts. Mm-hmm. And as we speak, we're busy rolling out a further 21 megawatts, which is going to take us up to 62 megawatts by end of this year. So we're very excited. That will take us into the teens in terms of driving our own consumption from our rooftops. Now, solar is, very important from a green and responsible energy use point of view. But similarly, Simon, I think, if you just look at the yields we're getting, it's a compelling investment proposition.
Yeah, that's just it. I mean, as Eskom keeps pushing their prices up and cost of solar keeps coming down, those math just gets better and better. We'll leave it there. Andrew Coonan, CEO of Redefine, appreciate the early morning.
There's no postponing the inevitable. Your money knew this day would come. And you know what? It can hardly wait to start giving some back to you. When you invest in Stanlib's fixed income funds, you can retire earning a regular income off your investments. Invest for more certainty at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib is an authorized financial services provider and a registered manager.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Sitting with Sierra Moy, he's a quantitative portfolio manager at Satrix. Sierra, appreciate the time today. Bonds are boring, and that's actually a design feature, not a bug for them. But over the last decade, you put some data out, I think it was to end of February, the local index has actually done slightly better than equities, and of course, at a lower volatility.
Yeah, hi Simon, and thanks for the show. It's always a pleasure to be invited, and hello to your listeners as well. So yeah, I'll try and answer your question, the question about bonds being boring, without offending any fixed income managers out there. But I'll definitely not use the word boring, though. I think the concept of bonds is quite misunderstood at times, which is quite unfortunate. So they're a very important asset class because they provide a lot of funding for corporates, governments, and all of that. On the other side, they're also tradable, and investors do sometimes get returns that are uncorrelated to equities, which I think is great for diversification within their portfolio. But back to what you mentioned, yes, we have seen the asset class having very good returns. Certainly in the last 10 years, if you look at annual returns, you'll see that the all bond index mm-hmm. has hit up around 7.8% returns per annum if you're looking at end of April. And when you look at the local equities, the all share, it's done 8.1. So they're a bit tied. There's been a bit of a slowdown in bonds now at the beginning of the year. We can speak about that. But what is even more interesting that is that bonds have had these returns at almost half the volatility an investor would actually experience in local equities.
And that's a key point of bonds, is that they're not nearly as volatile. They move around, but they don't exhibit the volatility we see in equities. Are we still, I mean, you mentioned since the beginning of the year, I mean, one of the big stories is, when do central banks cut? And the expectation was lots this year. Now it's maybe a few. We don't know when those cuts are going to come. We know in time they will. Is there still space for bonds, even in a central bank rate cutting environment?
Yeah, certainly. In fact, in an environment where there's a bit of a pause after a substantial rate hike and a likelihood of a rate cut, bonds can be quite attractive. And it's mainly due to the nature of the beast, which is bonds having this sort of like inverse relationship with the rates. If the central banks would cut rates now, any bonds issued would be returned using a lower rate, making the current ones quite attractive, because that's the rate that you get, the higher one. And there are people out there who are actually prepared to pay the premium to get a hold of those old bonds. So therefore, they're pushing their prices up a bit. We have seen this because, I mean, ever since SARB pause last year, we saw a substantial swing in bonds, which were trailing equities. I mean, they actually closed 2023 up 8% when you compare to equities, which was up 7%. So that's like a 1% difference, which is huge.
Yeah.
So one of the major reasons now this year we are seeing bonds slow a bit is the fact that there's still a higher for longer message. I think a lot of your listeners, you would have heard this phrase a lot, coming through from central banks keeping rates high as they still want inflation to cool a bit more. So SARB is looking for inflation to be at least close to the midpoint of their 3-6 range. And at the moment, it's still above 5%. So it's still a waiting game.
Yeah, but it's still a waiting game. And one of them is the Namibian bond, which you guys at Satrix have. And it keeps on popping up onto my radar as one of the better performing ETFs locally. And it's an interesting story, because I think as South Africans, we disregard Namibia. But as an economy, it's doing quite well. That bond is yielding close on 10%. And in the note you put out, you made the point that as they're growing, they need less debt requirement. They issue less bonds. This actually creates extra demand for those existing bonds.
True. Namibia is quite an interesting case, and consideration for it needs to be given in terms of their growth prospects and not really much on the interest rate cycle we see right now or we're about to see. I mean, they are seeing their deficit decelerating compared to their history, which can actually squeeze the supply of bonds issuance in the country, pushing their price a bit. So the country's growth has been driven primarily by its mining sector and favorable commodity prices as well. And there's oil and gas exploration there. So it's quite an exciting economy to look at. What is interesting, though, is that in Namibia, if you want to get exposure to their bonds and you sit outside the country, you can get exposure, but it's via scrip settlement, sort of like a materialized process. But what Satrix has done is give investors an opportunity to actually get exposure to NAM bonds through our locally listed Namibian bond ETF. Yeah.
Making it, as you said, nice and simple and tax-free. I'll touch on tax-free in a moment. I was also looking at your global aggregate bond ETF. And I mean, I hadn't really looked into much into global bonds, partly because I still think of global as, you know, practically 0% rates. That, of course, has changed since the pandemic. It's what, 18% US and 10% Japan. Often when I look at global equities, US is sitting at 50-60%, but in the bond space, they're actually much smaller.
Yeah. So if you're looking at, for instance, this global, Satrix Global Aggregate Bond ETF, I mean, if you're thinking of going offshore, this is the product that we have on the global bond side, which tracks the Bloomberg Global Aggregate Index. Now, this is an index that's got quite a long list of names, which is why you'll see US as 18%. I mean, you've got over 9,000 odd names covered by the index. You're looking at US treasuries to Japan government debt. You're looking at Europe. There's also an emerging markets in there. So this is, of course, also a play with the benefit of crossing the currencies. So in an environment where you might get good bond returns and a weak currency, you get the double dose of returns in the investment. So it's a nice place to actually look at in terms of where you want to be if you want to go for offshore bonds.
Yeah, no, absolutely. A last question. I mean, we've been talking bonds. One of the trick with bonds, of course, is they pay coupons. They're effectively their income. They get taxed as such. They fit perfectly in a tax-free account. I mean, this is almost, I mean, I have lots in there, but a bond in a tax-free account just seems to fit almost hand in glove.
100%. I mean, investors always need to pay tax. unfortunately, everyone from their gains and, mm-hmm. and income from their investments. So, and bonds receive coupons, which is looked at as an income on your statement. So, and it's subjected to tax. So the tax-free savings account actually takes care of this, as it's the way for investors to try and limit the tax impact on their investment. So bonds can also be good to be considered as instruments to be held in the tax-free savings account.
We'll leave it there. That's Sia Nomonya. He is quantitative portfolio manager, Satrix. Appreciate the time.
And that's our poll today, LinkedIn and Twitter, about bonds. Are you holding bonds in your portfolio forever and a day? I did not. But then, you know what happened? Bonds got interesting. Rates went up. Suddenly yields were attractive. Have your vote. Have your say. LinkedIn and Twitter. That's it for today. We were chatting with Alex DeVet yesterday from Cliff Decker Hofmeyr, the booming local rental market. And we were talking with him around the legalities around it. We asked you, do you rent or own your home? It was pretty much split between the three options. About a third saying you own it outright. Another third saying own it, but with a bond. And the rest of you will say renting for the win. Have your vote. Have your say. LinkedIn and Twitter. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning. The MoneyWeb website's in the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast, just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow. NVIDIA ETNs on the JSE.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.